God, meet us here today and teach us to recognize the ways of life and hope into which you are leading us. So may our desires become your desires, and our work become your work, and our community the place where you are sought and found. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Is anybody out here a gardener? Yeah? A few reluctant gardeners maybe out there in virtual worship land? Raise your hands at home if you are a gardener. I am a gardener, and I'd like to share a little story with you, a gardening story. Many years ago, my mother was given the gift of a young magnolia tree. She planted it very carefully in our front yard. She loved the anticipation of its growth and beauty as sun and water and time would nurture it into a beautiful addition to her garden. My young nephew had no idea how much this tree meant to my mother. But one day he decided to prune it. He cut off several branches. He left them lying on the ground. Needless to say, my mother was devastated by the sight. In seeing her distress, my father thought that he could graft those branches back onto the tree. I know his method will sound silly to some gardeners, but he actually used Band-Aids and some masking tape to accomplish this. So surprised were all of us that it actually worked. My family was able to enjoy the beautiful magnolia tree, and my mother was very pleased. Jesus teaches us that he is the true vine and that God, our Father, is the vine grower. The words from John 15 bring up images that many gardeners will relate to as he invites us into this divine relationship of vine, branches, and vine grower. Together, we are invited to abide or to live in this divine connection. Jesus and his disciples are in an upper room in Jerusalem, where they have just celebrated the Passover meal. Jesus had washed his disciples' feet, and in so doing, he gave them the practical example of what humble service would look like, humble service that we are to give to one another. Jesus, in this reading today, has used some of the elements of Passover to establish a new memorial meal, which we refer to as the Lord's Supper or Communion. It would be a ritual that would remind the disciples and all of us of the sacrifice that he was about to make to redeem them from their separation from God and to remember that he promised to return. Jesus' statement that he was about to go away left them so sad. So he comforted them with the assurance that although he was going away, he was going to his Father's house, and he would be preparing a place for them, and he would return for them, and he would bring them and all of us to that place. In the time between those events, however, Jesus would work on their behalf, interceding with the Father, and the Holy Spirit would come to comfort them and to enable them to fulfill the ministry to which Jesus called them and all of us to do. The time is now short before Jesus would be arrested. He would be arrested that night, then tried and crucified the very next day. They are preparing to leave that upper room and proceed to the Garden of Gethsemane. But before they leave, Jesus gives his disciples some final encouragement and instructions. Let us listen now to the words of the scripture. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 5 through 11. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Here ends our reading. May God add blessing to our hearing and our understanding of these holy words. In my sermon this morning, I would like to put some cultural context around this time of the Last Supper. And then I'd like to pick up some of the key words that we heard this morning: the vine, the branches, and the root, God's pruning, abiding, prayer, and joy. In the cultural context, the grapevine was a symbol of Jewish national life. A grapevine was used as an emblem, minted onto the coins of the Maccabean period. A large, bold grapevine was used to decorate the gates of the temple constructed by Herod. The grapes themselves were costly jewels. Jesus had just used the fruit of this vine as a symbol for his blood, which was about to be shed for them. The disciples would have understood all of this, and so would have also understood that Jesus' declaration of being the true vine was a claim to be the fulfillment of all of the symbols. Jesus is the source of life that would bring forth fruit unto God, and God himself was the caretaker of this vine. The purpose of the vine is to produce fruit. And the purpose of this character, is to help the vine accomplish this goal. Jesus uses this as an analogy of the relationship between the Father and the Son. The Son desires to please the Father in all things, and the Father's will, to do above all things the Father's will. And the Father enables the Son to accomplish all things. The vine, the branches, and the root. This chapter proceeds by comparing the relationship of Jesus and his disciples to that of he and his Father. The disciples are reminded of the love of the Father for the Son, and the love of the Son for the disciples, the love of the Son for all of us. He takes it further to tell the disciples then to use this nourishment, to use this strength that they receive from the root and from the vine to love one another. The vine draws its nourishment from the root, and it pumps that nourishment into the branches so that they can bear fruit. This means that the spiritual life is not all our work, and that the fruit that we bear is not all ours either. It is God's work within us. The purpose of the branch is to serve as a vehicle through which the vine expresses itself. The branch bears much fruit. It bears the fruit which the vine produces. Grapes do not appear on the trunk of the vine because of this relationship. Jesus said that God is glorified when Christians bear much fruit. God has chosen to express his love in that way through us, and his purposes in the world through us. The fruit of a Christian's life comes from him and comes only as a result of one's relationship with him and with the Son. Now to God's pruning. God's pruning of us through trials and tribulations is often not pleasant at the time, But such things force us to be more dependent on Him. Trials and tribulations drive us into a deeper relationship with Him and therefore into greater spiritual maturity. We often do not understand why things happen, but we can be assured that our Heavenly Father continues to love us, and He proved that through Jesus Christ on Calvary. And therefore, even in the difficult things of life, we can be confident that He is doing something good in us and through us for His own glory and for our good. Abiding, the idea of abiding with Jesus is a wonderful concept. It means to live, to dwell, to remain, to continue. The apostles liked this word so much, the apostle John, in fact, liked this word so much that he used it 23 times in 1 John. Abide, abide, abide. What a wonderful thought is living with Christ and having Christ live within us. The concept is illustrated with the vine analogy presented here. Jesus is that vine, and we are His branches. The branch cannot bear fruit except as it draws life from that vine. So we cannot live and bear fruit for God unless we draw our life from Jesus. Jesus emphasizes this point by saying, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." As we live in close relationship to Christ, there is a change in our character as we are transformed and renewed in our minds and become conformed to the image of Christ Himself. This image includes our actions and our attitudes and our following the commandments He has given to us. We can become more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, and kind. We can become more faithful, self-controlled than we might currently be. We can bear much fruit. That is the result of living in Christ Jesus. Now, prayer is not about us getting God to do what we want. That is asking with the wrong motives. Prayer is about God changing us so that we desire what God wants. Prayer changes us, and then we see the hand of God working in marvelous ways. In this type of prayer that brings glory to God, the much fruit that we bear is as a result of it. This fruit, in turn, proves that we are disciples. We are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the joy that He speaks about in the last verse, He states that His reason for teaching us is found in verse 11 when He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." This is why Jesus has said all these things to His disciples on that night. He wants them to be comforted in the days ahead. Though He would be crucified and no longer with them, they can still trust in Him. They can still believe in His many promises. They can have a peace that the world does not know nor understand. And they can have joy in the midst, yes, even in the midst of their sorrow. Why? Because they abide in Him. He will continue to abide in all of us. He will not be present physically. We will not see Him as they had before. But He will remain with them spiritually and through the presence of the Holy Spirit that He has placed within each of us. They, in turn, will be able to bear much fruit in the living God, living lives that glorify God Almighty. And with great joy, what great joy there can be than to know that not only does God love you, not only does God love each of us, but God is also using us for the very purpose for which we were created. In all these things, we can rest in the love and the peace and the grace of our God who loves us so much that we can sometimes hardly even imagine it. Our God who loves us through trials and tribulations. Our God who loves us through joy and sorrow. Pray with me, please. God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit which flows through us today and all days. Abide in us, Holy One, that we may abide in you, that we may live in your love. And we pray all these things in the name of all that we call holy. Amen.